It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
That seems to me like government is establishing a religion.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
If you give people rights, women's rights, gay rights, whatever, there can't be equal rights if they're special rights.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
Surveys show that people still really prefer freedom versus force.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation. I am Kim Munson, and welcome to the show. We've got a great show planned for you today. Today is Election Day, so make sure that you vote and make sure that you encourage those around you to vote as well. You can go to my website, Kim Munson, that's spelled MONSON.com, to access my voter's guide. I am recommending a no on Proposition CC, which is a question on whether or not the PBIs, the politicians and bureaucrats and interested parties, can keep your Tabor tax refunds, our children's Tabor tax refunds, and our grandchildren's Tabor tax refunds forever. So that seems like that would be a big fat no on that. And then also recommending a no on DD. I totally agree that we need to do something about water. But I think what's been happening is PBIs are looking at this, the fact that sports betting has been legalized by the Supreme Court. They're like, how on earth can we get our hands around some of that tax money? And they're like, we will connect that with water. The water plan, this is just a drop in the bucket on what really needs to be done on water. And I think that the people in Colorado, we want to prioritize water. We want to prioritize education. We want to prioritize our roads and bridges. And if that's what we want to do, then we need to do it. So, Steve, how are you doing this morning?
Very good. Thank you for asking. I'm sitting here grinning. Two strikes against this thing, and we talked about it a little bit yesterday. We remember back in the 80s, what was the Two Forks project that went by the wayside?
Mm-hmm.
And then more recently, something I realized that Denver Water did to us, at least that's who our water bills go to. 2002, pretty severe drought, and they asked us to cut back consumption, and we did.
Mm-hmm.
But because that, obviously, their revenues dropped off. People using less water, less revenue for them. So what did they do?
They raised the prices.
Yes, they did. So.
Yep. So, I really believe that with proper planning, if we use the creativity and innovation of the human mind, we can solve these problems. But I think these PBIs, they don't want to solve these problems, because if they can control these essentials in our life, like transportation, education, energy, housing, water, broadband, data, if they can control that, then they can control the masses of the people. And I really think that that's what it's all about, is power and control.
Well, we did a little recording yesterday for something coming up, but the gentleman who was our guest brought that very point up, is that strangely, you know, government can be seen as in the background creating a problem so that they can rush in and
solve a problem.
Solve it.
And ultimately, it comes down to freedom versus force, force versus freedom. Socialism ultimately has to come down to force. And it's never compassionate to take other people's rights, their property, or freedom via force, whether with a weapon, a policy, or, Steve, your favorite, unpredictable and excessive taxation.
It's coming.
And that is one of the things that's been so important about Tabor, Colorado's Taxpayers Bill of Rights, is it has actually said, hey, government, you can grow a reasonable level, and that is population plus inflation each year. But anything above that, you need to ask us if you want to keep those revenues, because those are really ours. It's like you need to ask us if you can keep the change, and they want to just never ever have to ask us again about keeping the change. So that is what Proposition CC is all about. Be sure and go to my website, KimMunson.com. The voter's guide is there. You can also email me, Kim at KimMunson. That's MONSON.com. And recaps and podcasts of the show are also found there at my website. And I saw No Safe Spaces last Friday night. This is this movie. The director, Justin Folk, has been on the show. Very important film about freedom of speech. And if we lose freedom of speech here in America, that is in the First Amendment for a reason. And people should be able to say what they want to say, even if it offends somebody else or hurts their feelings. Because once we start to tap down freedom of speech, the other things in the Bill of Rights goes as well. So this movie, No Safe Spaces, go to nosafespaces.com, and you can see it is showing in a variety of theaters up and down the Front Range, and it is an excellent film. It is a very important film. Okay, Steve, I'm going to ask you, have you seen it yet?
No, ma'am. Sorry.
Okay, well, I would highly recommend that you do it. It's an excellent film. Our inspiration today, this is from an American theologian and author. And, you know, Steve, we've talked about, we've looked at when these people have lived. And James Freeman Clarke lived from 1810 to 1888. And I love this. He said, a politician thinks of the next election. A statesman thinks of the next generation. One more time. A politician thinks of the next election. A statesman thinks of the next generation.
Okay, I'm always the first one to chime in or chirp up that says, wow, those words were spoken 100 years ago, mm-hmm. and look how relevant they are to today. So what's really being said there, in my observation, is that the consistency of human nature, mm-hmm. And I don't mean consistency in a real good way either. So.
Yeah, you know, so human nature doesn't change, and that is something that progressives have thought that they could use government to change human behavior. But human behavior is constant throughout the ages, and we can see that with these quotes that are so relevant even today. Okay, Steve, are you ready for the funnies?
Yeah.
Okay. This is George Carlin, first one. He says, bipartisan usually means that a larger-than-usual deception is being carried out.
Only George Carlin.
And number two, Joseph P. Kennedy. He said, don't buy a single vote more than necessary. He says, I'll be damned if I'm going to pay for a landslide.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can I say that word on air?
Which one? Oh, yes, you can.
You can say that one, okay.
Hey, after, well, go ahead.
Okay. Lastly, okay, Daddy, a little girl, asked her father, do all fairy tales begin with once upon a time? No, sweetheart, he answered. Sometimes they begin with, if I am elected. That was very appropriate for Election Day.
Yeah.
Okay, and if you need a reason to vote no on Proposition CC, we have over a billion reasons. They're all related to corporate welfare. The question on the table is if the state needs more money, why are tax incentives, credits, grants given to corporations? According to Good Jobs First, Colorado Tracker, the Colorado Office of Economic Development and International Trade, through the Enterprise Zone, offered four separate tax credit rebates in the years 2013, 15, 16, and 17, and one grant in 2009 to Charles Schwab, which is ranked 13th on the list of largest banks in the United States, and it is also one of the largest brokerage firms in the United States with a market cap of $56.5 billion.
I was wondering when you were going to get to these fat cats, if they would make the list, and hey, they did.
They did.
Multiple times.
Oh, gosh. Hold on. Somehow this, it fell off on what that was exactly. Let me just check something. But with that, I wanted to say it was a little over $8 million that they received. I'm sure Patty will, she'll text me and let me know exactly what that was.
8.2.
Is it 8.2? Okay. Somehow that didn't come in here. So they received $8.2 million. That brings the total that was given to corporations that we've been just tracking for the last 17 working days to $1.3 billion. And, you know, the other question on the tape, well, we must mention that Charles Schwab and these other companies we are discussing are successful companies on their own. They do not need government money to maintain their success. Although, you know, $8 million here, $8 million there, you know, it makes a difference. So if government's coming by and offering it, you know, most of these corporations are going to take it. So the thing is we need to stop government from offering it, Steve, and we need to create a level playing field.
Well, the phrase quid pro quo is being kicked around mercilessly in the last month or so. And we discussed this a couple weeks ago. It's like, obviously, there's something being exchanged here in the classic quid pro quo. But I don't think that's our point. As much as it is, just let the system work on its own. We don't need these extra little things going on behind the scenes. And then when you had these horrendous figures being accumulated at $1.3 billion, and then turn around and hit us with trying to wipe out Tabor. What's the deal?
Well, and then the other thing, think about all these other brokerage firms out there. Think about all of these other banks out there that are not getting tax money back. And so it creates an unlevel playing field. It creates a cronyism, if you will. And I'm not accusing any particular company here, but it just makes sense that you kind of, get warm fuzzies to somebody that's handing out free money. And the important thing is it's better to cut taxes and regulations across the board without any preferential treatment for chosen companies. So it allows that we have an even playing field and government does not pick winners and losers. And, those on the left talk all the time about an even playing field. But then yet these are the same folks that and actually it's on both sides of the aisle that are offering these different incentives in the name of economic development. And it picks winners and losers. And then here they are with Prop CC saying, we don't have enough money. Hey, hardworking, everyday Coloradans, give us your Tabor tax refunds forever. There's something wrong with that picture, Steve.
Cough up some more.
That's right. So that brings us right into our first. Let's go to break, and then let's try to get through these couple of headlines. I have three things. But first thing, I want to talk about what you mentioned regarding the Washington Nationals being at the White House yesterday. So this is Kim Munson. This is the Kim Munson Show. We'll be right back.
At Hooters, you can watch the games with all your buddies. And when your buddies are the world-famous Hooters girls, there's always plenty of ice-cold beer and those craveable wings that'll knock your taste buds into next Tuesday. Hooters girls know plenty about football, but we really know the fans who live for it. So hang out with all your buddies all season long at Hooters, your official hangout for game day.
Catch all the games at Hooters and enjoy a Butter Bud Light draft with 10 boneless wings, just $10. Dine for two with the pitcher and nachos, just $20.
You want to succeed, so you need to dress for the job, event, or relationship that you seek. For more than 30 years, entrepreneur and stylist Kim Munson has been helping women look their very best. And guys, Kim can help you with made-to-measure shirts that fit great and you'll love to wear. Guys and gals, if you want to up your game, freshen your look, email kim@kimmunson.com for your initial style consult. Kim at Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Hey, welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson, and we've got a great show planned for you today. Be sure and check out my website, Kim Munson, that's spelled MONSON.com. We're going to go through some additional headlines in this segment. We'll, of course, talk with Jason McBride, Presidential Wealth Management, near the bottom of the hour. And then Chris Cook, who is the chair of the Denver County GOP, will be joining us. We'll talk a little bit about how important it is to vote today, but you must know what you're voting on. If you haven't taken the time to understand the issues and understand the candidates, you either need to get up to speed on that or not vote. And so we'll talk about that. And then she also has been tracking a lot of the money. Follow the money, Steve. That's what they say, follow the money. But yesterday, something rather amazing happened at the White House. The Washington Nationals won the World Series. They were invited to the White House. And one of the players, I think it was the catcher, as he went up to the microphone, he grabbed a MAGA hat, Make America Great hat, and the crowd went wild on that. And the president was pretty thrilled. He said, we didn't plan that at all. And you said, Steve, you've seen the headlines that they've been going after this guy.
Yeah, Kurt Suzuki. The catcher of the Nationals, he did just what you just described. And then I guess the president came up from behind and kind of bear hugged him with his glee and jubilation. But surely enough, social media just lit up immediately. And I just think of the tie that you just said earlier as you started the show about going to see that movie, No Safe Spaces, mm-hmm. Freedom of Speech. Where is this guy's freedom of speech? He celebrated it in a way that, so maybe grabbing the hat in this particular moment in time might have been, the coolest thing to do. I don't know, because he was there to celebrate the team accomplishment And, you know, several members of the team declined to even show up, and that's okay. That's their thing. But I just don't see this beating that he's taking in social media for, you know, wanting to celebrate with the President of the United States on the President's invitation.
You know, I think we'll probably talk with Jason McBride about this, but the stock market hit a new high yesterday. And typically that is indicative of an optimism. And an optimism about the American idea. And so it is just astonishing to me, Steve, that anybody that wants to celebrate the American idea, America being successful, America doing their best, America striving for excellence, anybody that wants to celebrate that, they are tapped down. The other day I was driving down the road and I saw a car with, you know, all kinds of bumper stickers on it, and it said coexist, inclusive, all this. And I looked at that and I'm like, you know what? I bet that's the first person in you know, that would probably chastise somebody for putting on a MAGA hat or, you know, saying that they actually supported the president. There's something that, you know, it seems like the left, and not the liberals, we're learning from No Safe Spaces, there are liberals that are concerned about this lack of free speech in America. But the left that has taken over here in Colorado and in a lot of different places, there's no redemption. You know, if you made a mistake a long time ago and you are anything but a leftist, there is no redemption for that. It's astonishing to me, Steve.
The coexist bumper sticker has been with us for probably 20 years already. And at first glance, you know, you think, oh, yeah, all right. That's
a kumbaya moment.
Yeah. But then you really start to think about it, and it really displays that person's lack of understanding or knowledge of human history.
And of the American idea.
And not to say that it's not something to strive for, but there's so many roadblocks.
But, Steve, think about it. If you look at America, just as we go into this building in and out, you know, it is such a melting pot. And that has been the thing that's been so great about America, is that it is a melting pot. In Liberty Toastmasters, we had a young woman that spoke the other day that immigrated from China. And she has more of an appreciation for the American idea than many people that were born here. And so what you look like doesn't really define who you are. It's what's inside of you that defines who you are. And somehow we need to be able to come together to celebrate this great melting pot instead of the left that wants to make this a big salad bowl with everybody with just their own ingredient, if you will.
Well, their own ingredient, and then again, and wanting to keep it to themselves, assimilation is not part of the big picture.
Well, it isn't. And then the other thing is under all this coexist and inclusive language, they then want to push forward policies that will force people to their particular worldview. And if you don't adhere to that worldview, then they are going to use government policy to tax you, to make you pay fines, and also to take that tax money to push forward their particular agenda.
Recently, and this story just... Well, it's like, it can't get any. I have stopped saying it can't get any worse than this because I'm usually proven wrong. Procter & Gamble got drug into the spotlight because of the certain product line for women. They want, you know, the left comes in and says you have to change your packaging. You know, certain symbols can no longer be put on this. And I said in discussion with somebody over coffee, when does somebody like Procter & Gamble just get up and just say no? You know, the old Nancy Reagan thing, just say no.
Yeah.
All right, you know, we hear what you're saying, but we're not changing anything. But the person I was speaking with reminded me of the power and the clout that these bozos have now. They'll go after Procter & Gamble management. They'll find out where they live, and they'll go and demonstrate in front of their house, or they'll do some type of damage to their personal property.
And these were the same people that talked about bullying, you know it. And I'm finding that if somebody... talks about something so much, it's like the old Shakespeare term as ye doth protest too much.
I know who that person was. It was our own Dan Muir and I were having that discussion. He said, you got to realize how much clout they take for themselves. They don't necessarily have it. They just take it. And they do, you know, those types of things, those types of antics.
And that's why we have to stand strong. And that's why we do this show, Steve, is to bring forward all of these different issues. Now, I wanted to mention two things that Patty had here on the headlines. First of all, this is from Fox News. Grover Norquist and Patrick Gleason, they said the fate of our nation's most important taxpayer protection measure hangs in the balance. Says the 2020 presidential campaign is dominating media coverage. But in just a few days, that's today on November 5th, the voters, not a poll of the battleground state of Colorado, will determine the future of the nation's strongest and most effective tax and expenditure limitation measure known as the Taxpayer Bill of Rights, TABOR. It was approved by more than 53% of the voters in 1992. Colorado's TABOR mandates that state revenue cannot grow faster than the combined rate of inflation and population growth. State revenue collected in excess of the TABOR cap is refunded to taxpayers. TABOR also requires lawmakers to get approval for all tax increases, and then I'll interject, it also requires that there is approval for all incurrence of debt that that the people of Colorado have to pay off. And so that has made the national news there. I hear that it's nip and tuck on what's going to happen on Prop CC, so all of you get out there today and make sure you vote no on Prop CC, and I'm recommending a no on Prop DD as well. We've got Jason McBride on the line. Have you voted, Jason McBride?
No, no on everything. It feels so good to say no.
But you, I hope when I ask, have you voted, that that is a yes.
No, yes, I voted no.
Okay, there you go.
It's starting to sound like the Who's on First routine, isn't it?
It certainly does. But I totally agree. And you know, Jason, the other thing that is so frustrating is when you see the words without raising taxes. You see that out there on the Jefferson County 1A. You see that on the Douglas County 1A.
Oh,
when you see that without raising taxes, that's a big fat lie. And I am tired of people lying to me on this. So no and no and no. And yes, I voted no also, Jason.
Yep. No on everything. No.
There you go.
Yeah, you guys should, Steve should play songs that are all like about saying no.
You know, we should have done that. You are
music,
you're so smart. We didn't think of that. We have to get up pretty early in the morning to be ahead of you, Jason McBride. But yesterday, we talked about the latest jobs numbers and how manufacturing jobs declined only because of the GM strike. But last week, someone pointed out a headline to me. Manufacturing activity contracts for the first time in 35 months. How's that different?
Well, first, Kim, that headline was actually all the way back from the August report, so it's not new. I don't know why it would still be a headline unless, you know, the left ran out of other bad things to say for one day and had to, you know, kind of start rotating. But that one deals with manufacturing activity overall, not just manufacturing jobs. So manufacturing levels, Kim, are going to ebb and flow just like any other component of the economy, and they always have. And I sent you a chart of this ISM index, and, I mean, that thing swings back and forth like crazy. So in the simplest terms, a reading below 50 is considered, quote, bad, and above 50 is, quote, good. As you can see, the chart goes all the way back to 1973, and there's been a bunch of times we dipped a little bit below 50, and then it just bounced right back up, and there's been times it dropped below 50 and just kept going.
You know, this thing really does swing back and forth a lot. You're not kidding about the ebbing and the flowing.
Yeah, in the last few months, it's ebbed. May, it was at 52.1. It slowly came down. Yeah, in August it hit 49.1. September it was 47.8. In October it bounced a little to 48.3. So, Kim, we've dipped below that desirable 50 level, but it doesn't mean much yet. But I think the 45 level might be worth watching. If you go back to 1970, a breach of the 45 level has coincided with every recession since then, 7 out of 7 times. Now, notice I didn't say that it preceded or predicted the recession. It just happened to coincide with it.
So most of the time, the level dropped under 45 after the recession started. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, or during. So it's the chicken or the egg. Well, this thing doesn't seem to be whichever came first necessarily. But here's the thing, Kim, because a recession, it's defined as two consecutive quarters of declining GDP. Well, we don't get final GDP numbers for a whole quarter or for one quarter until 3 months later. So, for example, we just got the GDP for, I think, the third quarter here. We're not going to get the final GDP numbers for the third quarter until the end of December, Kim. And I know the GDP in this quarter was strong enough that it's not going to go negative. So it's highly unlikely we're going to end up in a recession. But I kind of sidetracked there. The point is, there's no way to officially tell if you're in a recession until 9 months after it started. And by then, it just it might be actually ending. So this indicator might tell us if we're in a recession a little earlier than the official report would, but I'm not sure of what use that would be to the average person.
Okay, okay. I think it was just a headline because, you know, the fact that we'd had 35 months of manufacturing growth, I didn't hear that. And, I mean, that was pretty amazing after President Obama said that the new normal was just, you know, just limping along as far as growth. And so here, Donald Trump, I mean, that coincides almost with when he got into office. I think that's a pretty important correlation.
Well, and the other thing is, if you look at the chart, the same index dipped below 50 late in Obama's term, and I didn't hear any headlines about that.
Yeah, good point, good point. We need to get back to a more honest press on that. You know, now, clearly, Jason, I give my opinions on things. I'm not saying that, that I am just a straight reporter, but we certainly talk about different opinions on things. But you can be rest assured that we really do try to strive for the truth on all of this. So now I had another question because the stock market hit a new high and normally is viewed as forward looking and an indicator of the economy when it's hitting new highs. If a recession is just around the corner, why is that?
Well, that's simple, Kim. I'd say it's because a recession is not in any way imminent. The market's been moving sideways for almost 2 years since the rumblings about the tariffs and the trade war with China started. But recently, our markets and many of the leading stocks have started to break out to new highs.
Now, when we were talking the other day, you said something very interesting. You think a new high can be one of the best times to buy, and I thought we were supposed to buy low and sell high. What gives?
Well, you can certainly buy low and sell high, but think about it this way, Kim, and this is straight from some of the most successful investors in history, including William O'Neill, the founder of Investors Business Daily. Now, keep in mind, he's a self-made billionaire, and he made all of his money investing in stocks, starting with just a few $100.
So it's probably good to listen to these guys like O'Neill who have actually been successful, so tell me about it.
So here's the thing. Think about it this way. Let's say a stock's been bouncing back and forth between 40 and 50, and eventually it's going to go to 100. Well, how does it get there? Well, first it makes a new high at 51. Each point along the way to 100 as it hits 52, 55, 60, 70, 90 is a new high. So buying at or close to a new high still involves proper timing. You have to look at the chart of the stock, Kim. If it shot straight up, vertically from 20 to 50, well, that's a risky time to buy. But when it's been going sideways for a while and then it suddenly breaks above the 50, that can be a perfect time to enter. You don't wait till it gets to 60 or 70. If the proper breakout level is $50, I mean, you try to jump and buy it right then as it pushes above that 50.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. You don't just buy willy-nilly. You have to study what the stock was doing before it hit the new high and be ready to act quickly.
That's right. You look at the chart, and here's what else is great about new highs. Think about this. There's no one that's unhappy because they bought the stock higher. let's say at 55, 60, or 70, and they're just waiting to break even so they can sell and get out. They bought it, it went down, now they're unhappy because they have a loss. They can't wait to sell just to get out. And that's what's called overhead resistance, and that kind of selling pressure can slow a stock down or send it backwards again.
Okay, so when we hear the horror stories about investors who waited too long and bought in too high, that's different altogether.
Right. I'm not talking about buying into gold after it went straight up to 2,000 an ounce, or silver after it shot vertically to 48. I'm not talking about buying beyond meat after it shot from 25 to 240. And I'm certainly not talking about, you know, people who were buying Bitcoin when it ramped straight up from zero to $38,000, Kim. If you look at companies that have great fundamentals and you buy them at the right time, your chances of starting off with a gain go way up, which gives you some cushion and gives you time to think, versus buying at the wrong time when everybody's getting crazy and then having a big loss right out of the gate.
Wow, Jason, I have learned so much this morning. Thank you so much, Jason McBride with Presidential Wealth Management. And if you'd like more information or to reach out to Jason McBride, do a discovery session between now and the end of the year, go to AIR, that's A-I-R, presidential.com, that's AIRpresidential.com, or the phone number. You can give Natalie a call after 7:30 is 303-694-1600, 303-694-1600. Jason, thank you so much. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Have a great show. Bye, Kim.
Thanks so much. And we indeed will have a great show. I've got Chris Cook on the line. You know her. She is serving as the chair of the Denver GOP, and very creative in that particular duties that she's working on. But she's also been watching money coming into these elections. We'll talk about voting today. And so this is Kim Munson with the Kim Munson Show. We'll be right back.
Are you looking for news, not propaganda? Ready for a news source you can actually trust? How about a news site that doesn't want to sell you a subscription? Visit CompleteColorado.com to see all the latest news from around Colorado. Complete Colorado's staff scours news sources from around the state and nation to bring you only the top stories that affect you right here in our great state. Updated three times a day, CompleteColorado.com has full-time reporters doing original investigations and reporting like newspapers used to do, as well as opinion and political commentary from a variety of Colorado voices. And CompleteColorado.com is the only place to read columnist Mike Rosen. Always fresh content, always free, always informed. CompleteColorado.com, your complete source for Colorado news.
A reverse mortgage can be an important financial tool for individuals 62 and older. It is essential to understand the process so that all of your questions are answered. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lauren Levy, Polygon Financial Group, has the experience to answer your questions. Lauren knows that each financial transaction is personal. If you'd like to explore your options on a reverse mortgage or with rates down, explore options to remodel your home, buy a rental property, or move, call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson, and I am thrilled to have on the line with me Chris Cook. Chris Cook is the chair of the Denver GOP, and she's working on some really creative things there. Chris Cook, welcome.
Thank you so much, Kim, for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Well, it's great to have you. And first of all, thank you for stepping up. GOP in Denver, I mean, that's kind of a challenge, isn't it, Chris?
Well, I don't know a single county chair position that is not a challenge. All of them are. Denver is unique, obviously. We have the lowest percentage of registration for Republicans out of 64 counties in the state. But the thing that people always forget is that we have the eighth most number of Republicans just sheer numbers. So we are absolutely critical to any statewide race. Denver County Republicans are deserving of a professional party, and that's what we're trying to bring to them.
Okay, and you've started some new fun events. I went to one, in fact, it was your inaugural kind of an after-hours event, and I just was blown away by the people that were there, young people, older people. The energy in the room was really fantastic.
Well, and part of that was due to you. Thank you so much for coming and helping us kick off our Happy Hour series. We are having on the first Wednesday of every month at Tavern Platte Park on 1475 South Platte. You can come to our happy hours. We're having one tonight, or I'm sorry, tomorrow night. What is today? Tuesday?
Yeah.
we're having one tomorrow night. It's sort of a recap of the election, and I think it'll be a lot of fun, and I hope that people will start coming out. We had to start doing something in the evenings because, you know, the average age of the voters in Denver is 34. We needed an opportunity for them, you know, who have full-time jobs and so forth, to actually come out and engage with the party. So that's why we started that. It's really exciting, and I think we're going to see a lot of growth with that.
Well, good for you on that. Now, today is Election Day, and yes, it is so important to vote. But it's also important to be an informed voter. You know, instead of looking at the candidates on your ballot and say, well, I like the way the last name of that person sounds. That is not a good way to vote. Right, Chris?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. No, I mean, you got to know who it is that you're voting for, what they're going to do when they're representing you in their elected position. And, of course, one of the big races that we have in this election is for the school board at-large position. We've got three candidates in there. Tay Anderson is backed by the unions. He's got out-of-state coming in to support him. He's bought up a ton of airtime on Fox News, which has been very odd to mm-hmm. watch. But, you know, he's got more money than he knows what to do with. Alexis Harrigan is pretty much the same. She's being backed by a organization called Democrats for Education Reform. And so, you know, she's out there. There are some Republicans who think that they've got her in their pocket. I think that if you think you can control a Democrat right now, you're delusional. So mm-hmm. I think that's, you know, she's also a dangerous choice. The last candidate, she's actually the first candidate on the ballot. Her name is Natella Manuntseva. And Natella is a Republican. She has got an amazing story. I think you said that you've had her on your show.
I've had her a couple of times, yes.
Awesome. I mean, she's just, so you know, her story is just absolutely amazing. She's a refugee from Uzbekistan. She's lived in slavery. She's lived under socialism. She understands what Sharia is all about. She gets this stuff because she's lived it. And she is fully in support of charter schools and choice and getting a good education for our kids, for every student in the DPS school system. And so we support her, obviously, and are trying to get her elected. Her funding is nothing near what Tay mm-hmm. and Alexis have. You know, I was looking at campaign finance yesterday. And but she's been working tirelessly to get out there. She's done a lot of radio. She's done a lot of walking. And she's a great, great candidate. I think she would make a fabulous school board director.
You know, she's young. She's vibrant. And as you mentioned, she came over to America as a refugee. Chris, I find it so interesting that many of these refugees that are coming to America have this great love for the American idea because they've lived under tyranny. And so they just embrace freedom and liberty and all those things. And Natella certainly is an amazing story.
Yeah, she truly is. She truly is. And she's emblematic in some ways of what the Republican Party needs to really start doing. We need to start reaching out to the refugee populations and letting them know what it is that they've come to and how important it is to preserve. You know, why is America the beacon? And helping them understand exactly what the contrast is between the American ideals handed to us from our forefathers, from the founders, and in contrast to what they just arrived from and why they were escaping. That is a contrast that I think the Republican Party needs to get out there and really, really make the case for. We can grow so much within these populations, because these demographics, because they really understand, they're going to really understand what the danger is that the Democrat Party represents right now.
Well, that brings up two things that to talk about. First thing, though, is strategy regarding Nutella. Now, is there two seats that will be elected out of the three people? Is that right? Or is it just one?
No.
Just one.
Only one.
Okay.
Only one at-large position is open right now.
Okay, so one vote for Nutella on that. I just wanted to clarify that. And then another thing you just mentioned, and that is we as, and when I say Republicans, I am talking about Republicans who believe in limited government and who believe in that the government should be smaller and the individual should be bigger. And
right.
I've been calling myself in some ways a conservatarian, Chris, because, you know, the big Republicans that they also, you know, are for bigger and bigger government. That's not what we're talking about. And it's the Republican that believes in limited government and that the individual should be big. Their rights should be protected to go after life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. That's what we're talking about. And
absolutely.
On a couple of different occasions, Nash Tarishan has mentioned this to me. He immigrated from India. And then a friend of mine at one of our Wine and Tapas women's groups said that she was at a naturalization ceremony in Kansas City. And just a beautiful thing, all these people becoming citizens. But when they walked out the door, right there was probably either the League of Women Voters or some Democrat organization that was registering these people to vote, and they were registering them to vote Democrat. And once you register to vote with a certain party, many times you have an allegiance to that party. We need to figure something out on that, Chris Cook.
We certainly do. We certainly do. And honestly, we've been working very hard. I was elected in February, and Coy Bell, who is the regional field director for the Trump Leadership Initiative, has been working in Denver and Adams County to register voters. And that's exactly where we need to be. We need to be gaining, because there is a psychological advantage to that, to getting people to hold their allegiance to us. Now, with the passage of Senate Bill 107 and 108 a couple years ago, things sort of changed with that, because now we have, you know, semi-open primaries where you can choose which ballot. Even if you're an unaffiliated, you can vote in the primary. That used to be the big selling point for us to get people to register as Republicans. So that has somewhat changed, but we are still out there trying to get folks to register as Republicans, because this is the party that represents the things that they believe in, and we need to get them to understand that. So some of it's messaging, some of it's just being there and being out on the ground. A lot of it is just being out on the ground and making sure that this stuff is happening.
Okay. Hey, Chris, let's go to break. I'm talking with Chris Cook. She is the chair of the Denver GOP. And there is something really vibrant happening with the Denver GOP right now. And Chris, you've also been watching a lot of the money. I think you alluded to that just a little bit. So let's go to break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation about money, follow the money in these elections, as well as be sure to vote. So this is Kim Munson, The Kim Munson Show. We'll be right back.
Award-winning realtor Karen Levine has 30 years of experience with RE/MAX Alliance. As a director with the National Association of Realtors, Karen Levine works to protect private property rights. Karen Levine believes in homeownership. Because of Karen's love of dogs, Karen volunteers with GRR, Golden Retriever Rescue of the Rockies, helping golden retrievers find their forever homes. Choose Karen Levine to buy or sell your home because she understands that it's more than just a house. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine with RE/MAX Alliance today at 303-877-7516. That's 303-877-7516.
Don't miss Vino and Veritas, Wine and Truth, a study of the Federalist Papers. Join Kim Munson at Water's Edge Winery in Centennial or Colorado Cork and Keg in Castle Rock. In Fort Collins, attend Vino and Veritas at Ginger and Baker. Kim Munson would like to thank Presidential Wealth Management Loveland, Presidential Wealth Management Greenwood Village, Tina Francone with Straightforward Shooting, and Grand Lake U.S. Constitution Week for their generous support. Vino and Veritas, Wine and Truth, a study of the Federalist Papers. Sign up today.
Oh, Okay, welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. I'm thrilled to be having a conversation with Chris Cook. She is the chair of the Denver GOP. And during the last segment, Chris, you mentioned something I did not realize, that the average voter in Denver County is 34 years old. That's yep. kind of astounding.
It is. It is. And it's, I mean, this is our great task as Denver County GOP is to reach into that millennial population and really get them active and excited about being a Republican and being out there, you know, in, as part of the Denver community and showing about our principles, showing our principles to the rest of the city.
Well, after being at your very first After Hours event, I was really impressed with the number of very thoughtful young, I'm saying young people, because I'm a little older than 34, but I was really impressed with the folks that were there, the people that had shown up, and it looks to me like you're starting to really make a difference.
We really are. We really are, and I'm in the same boat. I turned 50 today, actually.
Oh, happy birthday.
Thank you. They all look 12 to me.
I know.
but they are. They're so thoughtful and they're so knowledgeable, and you know they you know understand the history. They understand the principles, and they're very practical. I think the millennial population, we don't give them nearly enough credit for being very pragmatic about how things need to happen. They understand the technology, they understand how to reach young people, and so as we bring them in and, you know, get them active, they're thinking up, dreaming up ways to reach their friends and their cohort. And so it's we're kind of slowly getting our way to a tipping point where they'll just take that over and recruit like nobody's business. We're seeing it happen. It's very, very exciting.
Well, and Chris, I was talking to a young woman who is a mom who went through public schools, and she said, and she's been attending Vino and Veritas, and she said, Kim, I never learned this stuff when I was in school. She said, we never right. talked about these things. I said, do you feel cheated? She said, yes. But it's like the lights are coming on. These kids, you know, once you realize that somebody's kind of been deceptive or not telling you the truth, it kind of makes you mad. And I think a lot of these young people, as they're starting to realize is, hey, I wasn't getting the whole picture in my, and there's great teachers. I want to make sure that I say that there are some great teachers out there, but there has been a real agenda by some of those on the left that have really tapped down, you know, kicking the tires on a variety of different ideas.
Well, that's absolutely true. And I think, you know, of course, Common Core and the curriculum has a lot to do with that. The history books are based on Howard Zinn's History of the People of the America of United States, or People's History of the United States, and which is a supremely leftist view of American history. These are the things that they're being taught. I was talking to a young man last night at Colorado GOP headquarters about climate change. He's at Smoky Hill High School, and he said, "We only get one side. We never see the other side." And he said, "That's." The problem is nothing is being shown in order to present a balanced perspective. So they're completely shortcutting the idea of education itself, which is to learn to think critically. By the time you graduate, you should be able to evaluate different arguments and decide, you know, which one you think is right. And that's not what our children are being given in their education. Why the school board election is so important. We have to maintain that choice. We have to maintain those charter schools that are actually trying to do some of this stuff and take some of this power away from the unions and from the curriculum writers who are pushing an agenda.
Well, they truly are pushing an agenda. And so I did a voter's guide. I didn't come out and officially endorse any particular candidates. However, you can listen to my show. I've had a number of school board candidates and city council candidates on the show. And this is really where the battle for America is. Certainly, you know, as we look into 2020, the presidential election, the senatorial election here in Colorado, those are very, very important. I don't want to discount that. But I think that the GOP has actually not realized that while we've been working, taking care of our kids and our families and building our businesses, that on the local level, what has happened is in many cases, leftists have stepped forward and have been elected to school boards and county commissioner and city councils. And everybody needs to step up and I think serve on that. And we're seeing a lot of wonderful candidates this election season stepping up to run for these particular local elections, because I think they're really, really, really important.
Oh, absolutely. And who was it that said that all politics is personal and local?
Mm-hmm.
And this is where it starts. But, you know, in Denver County, of course, I have a rather parochial view of all of this stuff because I'm so hyper-focused on this county. But it's tough. It's tough to step up and run. You know, being a candidate with Republican values in Denver County can sometimes be a death, you know, the kiss of death. And it's very, very tough. But I think we're starting to see some traction for these ideas because the left has become so crazy. We're starting to see some folks, you know, who actually hold common sense views. J.B. Gillis in the mayoral race this past May, I think, is one example of that. And J.B.'s a Democrat, there's no doubt. But she holds many more views that resonate with Republican voters than Democrats. And yet she made it into a runoff with Mayor Hancock. So, you know, we're starting to see some traction for some of this stuff. I think we're starting to see it in the school board races as well. And we need people to proudly stand up as Republicans, be courageous, and get out there and say, look, I'm not racist. I'm not a misogynist. Let's talk about what I actually believe instead of what the media is telling you that I believe. And let's see if it resonates with you as a voter.
Well, you know, and you mentioned the word racist. You know, when I look at, you know, that's the word that's thrown around all the time. And,
yeah,
you know, Martin Luther King Jr. said, I look to the day when my children will be judged not on the color of their skin, but on the content of their character. And now this new left, this left, that is all they see. And I think one of the reasons, Chris, is they want to put people in groups, because if you look at a person as part of a group instead of an individual, then it's a lot easier to bully them. They don't, you know, certainly they're not coexisting if you look at people as a group instead of an individual. And that's one of the great things about the American idea and what the Republican Party tries, you know, works to embody. And that is the value of the individual, and that this country was put together. The big idea was to protect the rights of every individual, of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. And we've continued to work towards that, and we're making great progress until this new left took over, and now it's just all these different accusations. So, Chris, we've got about 3 minutes. So go ahead and what's the last thing you want to leave with our listeners? Because you're on the firing line. I thank you for stepping up and doing that.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate that. Well, number one thing is, if you have not turned in your ballot, vote. Please vote. Make sure that you drop your ballot off into a ballot box or a voter service center. Make sure that you get out there. If you're in Denver County, please vote for Natella Menunceva. She is just a fabulous candidate. I really, really think she would do amazing things on the Denver School Board. Also, vote, obviously, no on CC. We have to make sure that we protect our taxpayer bill of rights. I'm sure that you've covered that extensively on your show, but we need to make sure that that happens. But get your ballot in. That is the biggest, biggest thing that we're trying to make sure happens today.
Well, and I am really recommending, Chris, if you see any ballot language that starts off with the words "without raising taxes," that is a big no, because that's basically, in my view, kind of a bait and switch, a tax that was supposed to go away that we have been paying. They're like, you're used to paying that tax, and so we're not going to really raise your tax rates. We're just going to extend it. And I think there's something very deceptive about that language.
The bottom line is, if they're asking to keep more of your money, it's a tax increase. It doesn't get much more simple than that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's my big push for today.
And we need to turn the spigot off, this money spigot, even with Tabor in place. Taxpayers' Bill of Rights. Even with that in place, government has grown significantly above these revenue kind of limits that we've had. So government has grown significantly. And then these PBIs, politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties have been doing kind of some funny stuff in the courts to try to take the teeth out of Tabor. And then also they've been doing what the left does so well, is redefining words. So what used to be a tax, which came out of your pocket, is now a fee that comes out of your pocket. But when they call it a fee, they don't have to have the good manners to ask you. Right, Chris?
Yes, absolutely. We need to go on the offensive and start reining in all of that stuff. But first we have to defeat CC. First we have to turn off their spigot. polling is good, but we need every vote. There's just, you know, this is an off-year election. It's a low turnout election, so every vote counts. And please remember to turn in your ballot.
And it is too late to mail it. You need to make sure that you take it to an official voting place, or, you know, drop it in one of those official collection sites. And last thing, Chris, how can people get more information about the Denver GOP? You said you're going to have a fun event tomorrow night.
Yes, absolutely. Go to denvergop.org. We have a beautiful new website that we put up, launched about a month ago. We've got all the information on there, denvergop.org. You can donate, you can volunteer, you can find out about what we've got coming up, and get some insight into what we're doing and what we're thinking.
Okay, well, thank you for your good work. It's great to have you on the show today.
Thank you so much, Kim. I really appreciate it.
Okay, she's doing a great job over there. That's Chris Cook. She is the chair of the Denver GOP. Our quote for today is James Freeman Clark. We had talked about him. He lived from 1810 to 1888. And I have two very short quotes from him. He says, "Strong convictions precede great actions, and I can do small things in a great way." So today, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America.
Through the mountains climbing, twisting, turning further from my home. Young, like a new